Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grey City Church.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's always very good to give the most important person of the church rest. And I'm so glad that Pastor has got us all mobilized so that he's able to sit and also presence himself before the Lord for rest as well. It's really great that we are all here. I know your attention, you're trying to look at me, but I know you're trying to look at the box as well. Like, what is in the box? I'm not asking you for donations. Wow, it's great in there. I won't tell you to the very last minute, but it's a box which I labeled generosity. And the reason is because I'm doing the first value, which is generosity. And we also entitle our sermon today, instead of just generosity, is what can I give? What can I give? And we have taken the scripture from 2 Samuel chapter 9. So if you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9, we're going to read that chapter about David and Mephibosheth. Now, because Mephibosheth is a four-syllable name and it's really difficult, today he shall be called Mephi. That's very Aussie, yeah? We call long names short form. So, David and Mephi. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now, there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "At your service," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Machir, son of Emiel, in Lo Debar." So King David had him brought from Lo Debar, from the house of Machir, son of Emiel. When Mephi, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay honor. David said, "Mephi, at your service," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephi bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephi, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephi ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephi had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephi. And Mephi lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. He was lame in both feet. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much that you have created us, born again, Lord, to reflect the nature of Jesus. And the nature of Jesus is generous. I pray today as we hear your word that we will become like you, generous. And we will ask questions like, what can I give? So that, Lord, you can answer our prayers. We give you thanks, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think you are in a very good place if you can ask this question, what can I give? Because I see a very generous person, a generous man or a generous woman, able to ask such a great question. And King David asked, what can I give? He asked the court. He also asked the servant Ziba, says, what can I give? And three times in this passage, the word is kindness. You can give kindness, because we were told in verse 1, it says, "Give kindness for Jonathan's sake." Give God's kindness. Give kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. Three times when King David asked, what can I give? The word was kindness. You see, 17 years ago, Jonathan was killed. And Jonathan made David promise that David will take care of his descendants. 17 years have passed. And this is a great question to ask for David. What can I do to bless the descendants of Jonathan? You see, at that time when Jonathan died, his son, Matthew, was only 5 years old. So when we see the story open up now, Matthew would have been 22 years old, and he had a son who is very young. So right now, what David got the information about after he says, what can I give? And the word was kindness. He got some updates about Matthew. Matthew wasn't the young man that he had in mind. He was someone who was lame in both feet. In fact, the Bible tells us it three times in the passage. He was lame in both feet. In fact, it ended up, 2 Samuel chapter 9 says, he was lame in both feet. It was an information, it was a piece of information that would turn down or turn away anyone who would like to help. But the good news was kindness gave anyway. King David did not mind the lame Matthew, but he asked Ziba, the servant of Matthew, to provide for Matthew for the rest of his life. And even to show kindness to Matthew is to get Matthew to come to his table to eat like one of his sons. Kindness gave anyway. Even though it has grim update of what happened to Matthew, David was generous. David was kind. You see, when you have an experience of God's redemptive love, when you have an experience of God's love, you cannot help it but be prompted to ask this question, what can I give? David experienced the redemptive love of God. The redemptive love of God. Do you get it there? Redemptive, where God redeems. When David got hold of the redemptive love of God through his friend Jonathan, he could not help himself but be prompted to ask, what can I give? And he reflected a lot of what we are able to do as well as modern believers. Because in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7, we were told God raises up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places so that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. We have in our own way experienced the redemptive love of Jesus when he raises up and to be seated with him in heavenly places, able to show forth the grace of God in our life in kindness. That's why we are able to be generous. And that's why hopefully as we know the story of David and Matthew today, that we'll be inspired to be generous, inspired to be kind to everyone, particularly as Galatians 6:10 says, to the household of faith. We must be kind and generous to everyone in the world, particularly the household of faith in Grace City Church. I pray that today God will use this message to help you know that you are the solution God has for a suffering world, a world that is so in need of kindness. And kindness is imparted to you so that you can share it with the people around to bring hope to them. Let me bring you to the scene of David and Jonathan. Why I say that King David had experienced the redemptive love of God through his friend Jonathan. If you had been there, you would have melted to see the love between David and Jonathan. They kissed each other and they wept. They wept and they kissed each other. The reason is because David isn't sure whether he's going to see his friend again. That could be the very last meeting that he's going to see Jonathan, his friend. How could he ever repay his friend for turning his back against his own father to help him? Jonathan turned his back against the father Saul because Saul was so bent in killing Jonathan. Jonathan turned his back against his own father to help David. You see, Saul, who was David's king and boss, was so consumed with jealousy that at the slightest provocation, David would have lost his life. And truly, at this point, David was going to lose his life because Saul was after him. He was so jealous and so consumed with hatred, he would want David to be out of his court and out of his country. And the only way that David could be safe, the only way that David could not be hunted down, is unless Jonathan helped him. Unless Jonathan helped him. See, there was nothing Jonathan wouldn't do for David. Jonathan was very much a friend of David. In fact, when David came back from the field and won a lot of victory, when he came through the door, you know, sometimes it's like that. When you see someone for the first time, something clicks. You just like them immediately. Jonathan saw David came through the doors of the court from a victory, and immediately Jonathan liked David. Immediately, Jonathan was knitted in his heart with David. We were told in the Bible he was knitted in his heart. In other words, he loved him as his own soul. And so at this time, when David needs help from Jonathan, Jonathan said that he would help him escape from his own father. How could a friend who is not even related to you by blood be so kind to him? David couldn't understand this. This was really the love of a good friend, a generous nature of a good friend. David's knees weakened under him. He just couldn't help it. He bowed down before Jonathan, and he could have said, thank you, thank you, thank you. He couldn't say anything because he was choked with emotions. Is there someone in your life that has shown you such kindness? Was there a friend or a brother who has risked their lives to put you in a better place? Or do you have a neighbor or a sister who unconditionally is kind and generous to you when you were engulfed in hopelessness? I know the Lord Jesus is a good shepherd. He seeks and he saves the lost. He was the one who was kind to stoop down to the lowest of the lowest and bring us up to be sons and daughters, so that we can have the closest fellowship with him. On top of that, he gave us an inheritance. This morning, what Lynn led us was a beautiful song. The song that says, I can see the love of the Father. I can see the love of God in my eyes. I can see it in my eyes. And that's because God is so kind as to be able to bring us from wherever we are, bring us to a place, raise us up as sons and daughters, and then to be able to share the same inheritance as Jesus. That is the exceeding kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Ephesians 2:7 tells us there is the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. I think when we are touched by kindness like this, when you are able to experience the exceeding kindness of the Lord like that, you can't help it but ask, what can I give? During Chinese New Year, just the one that passed, I was in Singapore and I was talking with my cousin's husband. And he was telling me about the story, how he actually got saved. He was actually a very angry man. Very angry and very short in his temper. He was also a gambler, so he would gamble his money away, and he just couldn't control his temper. He couldn't control his addiction as well. And one day when he was in the church, because the wife is a Christian for a long time, I've been praying together with my cousin for a long time, we prayed for him, And one day he came to church, and then what happens was when the altar call was made, he told me in his Cantonese, because I speak Cantonese to him, in his Cantonese, he says, "I can't help it. I just have to run to the front and give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ." Wow. Responding to the exceeding kindness of the Lord Jesus. And I saw him change, because every new year, he would come to my mother's house and he would bring a hamper to give to my mother. Very generous man. He says, "I don't know why, but I gave up gambling. I gave up my temper." He says, "I'm no longer so angry anymore." Responding to the exceeding kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ is like you can't help it, but you ask, "Wow, Lord, what can I give back to you?" Back to the story of David and Jonathan. Jonathan and David were co-stars in the battlefield. They were very good warriors. Oh, they were such good fighters. Very like-minded, like-spirited, and have the same sort of skills. Very able to fight at war. And they are very good at winning battles. Very, very good. Jonathan, of course, he is a different person. He's a prince. He was the heir to the throne. And so as prince, as heir to the throne, he has a lot of good weapons. In fact, the best weapons in the country. The father, of course, Saul, would give it to Jonathan. He was the prince, and princes have privileges a commoner would never have. David's different. David is a commoner. David was a shepherd boy. He was a son of a farmer. He was a son of a sheep breeder. And he was very happy, actually, in his shepherd's attire. In fact, he felt a lot more comfortable in his attire, in his shepherd's robe, which is really loose, and his staff, because he takes care of the sheep. He's happier in that sort of attire than to be dressed up in a very formal kind of armor suit or a very formal kind of garment. He would rather be casual. In fact, he was like an Uber Eats driver, because his brothers will be in the field, and then the father will say, "Okay, go and bring some food for your brother." So he's a common man, young boy, good at farming, good at taking care of the sheep, like an errand boy to the brothers. And the brothers were the ones who had important assignments, but not David. David didn't have a lot of important assignments. He just had to do the normal errands. But to Jonathan, David was important. David was highly esteemed by Jonathan. In fact, Jonathan sees him as an equal. And so what Jonathan did, which was a great gesture, a very generous gesture, and this is wonderful, where Jonathan looked at his own robe, looked at David, and he says, "There's so much love I want to give to this brother, friend, but I call brother, my covenant friend." And he took off his robe that he was wearing, along with his tunic, together with his sword and his bow and his belt, and he gave them all to David. Wow, that's really generous. There's a teaching point here. The teaching point is this: when you are a kind person, you delight in contributing to the happiness of other people. You are cheerful in gratifying the wishes of people. You are happy to supply the needs of others and to bring them out of suffering. If you're a kind person, Jonathan loves for David to have the same feel as him as a prince. Even though David was not a prince, he wants him to have the same feel as him when he is in his attire. And it comes from a brotherly love. It comes from a heart of goodness, eager to share the good things of life. No ulterior motive, no personal advantage, just pure kindness to a friend. I pray as you listen to what Pastor said to bring your potato chips, that you bring a lot more so that you can share it with a friend with no ulterior motive. You will bring your whatever snacks you're going to bring and says, "What can I give? What can I give to my good friends in the camp?" And then give them. I believe that the Lord wants us to express kindness in our heart, because if the Lord dwells inside us and He is kind, He wants us to express that. Some of us are already doing it. I know of some parents, when you are eating a good meal, or whether you are in Thailand or here or somewhere else, you know, and you ate a good meal, you think, oh, this beautiful meal, if only my daughter or my son is here, how good it is for them to taste the same thing. Have you felt this way? If you have felt this way, I think you have kindness in your heart. You've never felt this way today when you're eating your lunch at Cambridge. Think, wow, so nice, this mee goreng. How nice if my good friend, my daughter, my son is here to eat with me. That comes from a kind heart. I'm saying this. Research is saying that if you can give and take, your marriage or your relationship will be far enriched. I want to add on to say that if you give without expecting anything in return, you are generous without expecting anything in return, your marriage, your relationship will also be enriched. I pray that you will have lots of opportunity to be generous. I even want to add that if we are a kind person of God, then God wants us to give wants to give us a huge heart, a heart that is able to help all who need, even to the unthankful, even to the evil. That's what Luke 6:35 says. To friends, to the good and to the worthy Christian brethren, but also to enemies. I pray that today our hearts will enlarge, so that we not only love those people who are lovable, love those only who are worthy, love only those who are friends, but that we are able to love those who are even unthankful or even enemies. That's a teaching point here. The teaching point is this. Jonathan is like a shadow of Christ. The way he gave up his princely robes, his bow, his belt to David, is like a shadow of Christ. Because he gave up his princely garments to him, it reflects how Jesus gave up his princely attire, his princely position in heaven, so that he can come down here and be able to bring us up as princes. You see, God got to come down here to bring us up. We can't go up ourselves. And that's why Jesus took off whatever that he had, his heavenly image, everything that belongs to him in heaven. He doesn't have to come down. He can rule the world as God wherever he is, but he chose to stoop. He chose to come down so that even though he has got no sin, that we, because of him, became the righteousness of God. He took our sin so that we become the righteousness of God. Titus 3:4 says, when the kindness and the love of God appeared, he saved us so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, that we might become princes of God, clothed with his power and kindness. Today, if you don't feel like you're wearing the best clothes, remember, spiritually, even as you are seated here, I mean, God is an invisible God. Even as you are seated here, he is putting garments of his righteousness over us. He's anointed us with power, anointed us with whatever that is in the nature of Christ. According to the riches in Christ Jesus, he has anointed us. So whatever clothing you are wearing, in the sight of God, he is seeing the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ put on you so that you can be righteous, so that you can be honorable, so that you can appear before God, not condemned. That's the teaching point of Jonathan being like a shadow of Jesus Christ. Wow, how powerful is that? God is so good to us. That's why I love to come to church every Sunday. So that when we come together as a corporate body, Jesus is here to crown us. Jesus is here to anoint us so that we leave this place different from the way you came in. I hope so. I hope your life has changed every time you walk into the church and you walk out. You cannot be the same. You cannot. It's a contradiction to be the same if you're in the presence of God and you return home unchanged. Because the presence of God is so generous and wants us to change to what the image of God is for us. So back to the story of David and Jonathan. Are you keen in the story of David and Jonathan? Such a good story, a beautiful story. Jonathan knew the way politics are going at that time in Israel. Jonathan knew that his father would never be able to hold on to his throne for long. Not the way Saul does it. In fact, there were already a lot of unhappiness in the camp. And the way Saul was conducting himself was really beyond description. And there was no way that Saul was going to continue as king for very long. Now, here is a rival to the throne, that is David, because David was said to be the future king of Israel. Now, David was the rival to the throne. Now, listen to this. So, David was going to be the king after Saul. So, if Saul is the king, the next king would actually be Jonathan. So, there is a rival to the throne. So, David is the rival to the throne. But mark this. There is no rivalry. There's no rivalry because Jonathan is a generous man. He was a man that was like a shadow of Christ. So what Jonathan did was this. During this interim time, even before David came to the throne, he knew that the father wouldn't hold on to the throne. How long, he doesn't know, but he knew that the father wouldn't be able to hold on to the throne for too long. Jonathan did this. Jonathan backed for hope. In the future. Have you ever begged for hope in the future? Maybe we should really try. Jonathan begged for hope in the future. And he knew that if David was going to become the king of Israel, David would be the real right person to beg for hope. And so he asked David, he says, David, please, please show me unfailing kindness like the Lord's kindness as long as I live, so that I may not be killed, and do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. So he begged David, David, don't kill my children, because it was a rule in ancient wars. If you kill the tribe, you must kill all the family members so that nothing is able to continue after that. So, here, Jonathan is saying, David, please don't follow the rule of the ancient war. Have mercy. Give my family hope. Don't cut off my descendants from the earth. And so what happens was, well, David became king, truly, as prophesied. David became king. And of course, he was a mighty king, and he had many, many enemies to cut down. Oh, he cut down a lot of things. If you read 2 Samuel chapter 8, you will get a lot of the wars that David was fighting and the victories he was gaining. So he defeated the Philistines. He defeated the Moabites. He captured 1,000 chariots of the king of Zobah. He struck down 22,000 Arameans and 18,000 Edomites. He killed so many of these kings, won a lot of victories, just as his friend Jonathan had said, because Jonathan knew that when David became king, and because he was anointed as king, that definitely he will be a mighty, mighty king, because God said that he's going to be anointed as the mighty king. So Jonathan knew, Jonathan already said, you're going to do that. And so David was winning battles, and for 17 years, he was winning battles, and right now, at this point, he had won so many battles. He had won so many victories. The voice of Jonathan rang in his memory. Like, don't cut me off. Don't cut my families off. And suddenly, in that moment of emotion, as he began to hear this voice, of course, this is not written in the scripture, so don't go and find the scripture, you know, like, don't cut me off, don't cut off my families. All these are drama, huh? But dramatic lines, we call them, dramatic lines. So don't find the Bible, but there are some cues there that it actually says that Jonathan says, don't cut me off. And so when David was so victorious, he suddenly remembered the voice of his friend, don't cut me off, don't cut my family off, and suddenly, just as we read just now, in 2 Samuel chapter 9, the opening line, David says, "Is there anyone left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Wow! That is a good question. I don't know, sometimes we need to be put in certain sort of a scenario, and then suddenly the Lord calls a question to come to you. What can I give? I pray that your moment will come really quickly, where you can ask this question, what can I give? Because when you are so touched by the redemptive love of God, you can't help it but to ask, what can I give? David remembered his covenant relationship with Jonathan. And David initiated kindness by getting hold of a man named Ziba and finally getting to Mephi, and he brought Mephi all the way from Lo Debar back into his palace, where he welcomed Mephi to even eat at his table. Not only that, he got the servant, and the servant got a lot of servants, just like you read, right? In parentheses, the servant got servants and children. So many, many people are serving Mephi. And now David says, no longer will you be in obscurity. No longer will you have to hide just because you are the family of Saul. You are going to be brought to the limelight. And today, he says, David says, I will initiate kindness to your father, Jonathan, my dear friend, by allowing your servants to plow the lands, plow the farms, just to serve you for the rest of your life. Wow, that's kindness. That's kindness. The teaching point is this. David is a shadow of Christ. You see, God is a covenant-keeping God. God has not forgotten you if your prayers have been made 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 3 months. God has not forgotten you because He's a covenant-keeping God. When we receive Him, He elevates us to be sons and daughters, and He wants to have constant fellowship with us at His table. That's why He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I will come into you and I will eat with you." God wants to have daily fellowship with us. That's why as pastors, as leaders, we always tell you, read the Bible, come to church, come to meetings. Why do we do that? Because we want you to experience or have communion, always experiencing the constant communion of the Lord. And blessings will not only be for now, the Bible tells us. Blessings will be restored to us in the next 1,000 generations. That's the generosity of Jesus. But David is like a shadow of Jesus. David says, I will take care of you. I'll take care of your food. I'll take care of your servants. I'll take care of your possessions. I'll take care of it till your next generations. It's like Jesus saying that. I will take care of you not only for now, I will take care of you in the next 1,000 generations. That's why we're so pleased when the camp has got the theme verse that reflects on the multi-generational pattern. Oh, truly. I don't think we want to just fellowship with each other just like now, and then for the next 50 years, well, next 50 years I'll be 108. Next however many years, we want our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and this has always been the heart of pastor, to see this church being able to bless the next generations after us. You see, we were once in darkness, but God calls us the light on the hilltop. We were orphans once spiritually, but God calls us the apple of His eye. Wow. That's the kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is reflected in the relationship between David and Jonathan. You see, if you show kindness, there's something that you need to understand. Kindness will beget kindness. When you keep doing kindness to people, kindness keep revolving and keep multiplying and keep reproducing. Kindness begets kindness. Bible tells us in Luke chapter 6 verse 38, it says, "For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Ayo, So if you use one cup, it will be measured back to you. One cup, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. So if you give one cup of whatever thing you want to give to God, God, when He returns it to you, press it down, shake it, so that you can really take in some more, so that it's running over, and when it's returned to you, wow, it is that measure God wants to give you. Kindness begets kindness. I think a world without kindness is unimaginable, because the miserable will continue to be miserable. Mephi was the son of a prince, but he lived miserably, and he needed the kindness of his father's friend. I remember a friend of mine, millionaire's daughter, you know, millionaire's daughter. And one day we were talking about apples. And this millionaire's daughter, who's a friend of mine, says she's never eaten an apple whole. There are people who are rich, but live quite miserably. But kindness, when we use it, breaks in and changes the atmosphere of hopelessness and misery. So that particular time where we had all the whole apples, we gave her one and says, "What you have never eaten before, this is it. Nah." And we gave her the apple that she's never eaten as the millionaire's daughter. To beget kindness, we need an initiator. It is always good to receive. But if you want to beget kindness, if you want to see kindness come back to you, shaken, pressed down, running over, you need to be the initiator. Because we were told in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So give, be the initiator, give. And therefore, even as we have opportunity, we were told in Galatians 6:10, we need to do good to all people, particularly the household of faith. Who is the household of faith? Us as a church, us as a universal church, we are to show to the household of faith. I dare say this. I dare say that as Jonathan is a shadow of Christ because he was generous with his friend David, as David was generous with his friend Jonathan and is a shadow of Christ, I tell you what, we are not going to add to the Bible. But the Bible did tell us that if it were to record everything that God has to record, it will not be able, this world will not be able to contain. We are the shadows of Christ. We will be the reflectors of the nature of Christ if we are generous one to another. Amen. Let us pray.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.